This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. The NPR 100 is a list of some of the most significant works of American music in the last century. Each Monday this year, we're featuring a selection from that list. This Land Is Your Land has been called by some the alternative national anthem, by others a Marxist response to God Bless America. It was written and first sung by Woody Guthrie. Over time, it's been sung by everyone from Bruce Springsteen to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Folklorist Nick Spitzer has the story of an American classic.
Woodrow Wilson Guthrie was born in 1912 in Okemah, Oklahoma. He recorded This Land Is Your Land during a marathon April 1944 session in New York for Mo Ash, who founded Folkways Records. Guthrie was on shore leave from the Merchant Marines, one of many occupations he had during the Depression and war years.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me.
Growing up in small-town Oklahoma, Guthrie heard church hymns, outlaw ballads, blues, fiddle tunes, and popular music. The Guthries had been fairly prosperous. Woody's father was a small-time politician and businessman. But the family unraveled in the topsy-turvy oil economy of the 20s and 30s. The Guthrie family relocated to Pampas, Texas, after Woody's mother was committed to a mental institution for a mysterious nervous condition. That's when Woody took to the road. As a boy, he'd already proven himself to be a gifted street entertainer, dancing, playing guitar and harmonica, making up songs as he went. Words and music became a growing passion for him. This Land Is Your Land wasn't released by Folkways until 1951, but the song was originally written in February 1940 when Woody Guthrie first arrived in New York City from Oklahoma.
I roamed and rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me.
Guthrie had a keen ear for the 78 recordings of Virginia's Carter family, and he was not afraid to borrow. A 1930 gospel recording, When the World's on Fire, sung by the Carters, must have provided the tune for what would become This Land Is Your Land.
I'm going to heaven when the world's on fire, and I want God's bosom to be my pillow. I'd be over in the rocks of ages. Rocks of ages live for me.
Musician, activist, and Guthrie fellow traveler Pete Seeger has probably sung This Land more than anyone else. He says Woody Guthrie made good use of the popular melodies of the day.
He tended to write words first and later on picked out a tune. Woody once said, when I'm writing a song and I get the words, I look around for some tune that has proved its popularity with the people.
About a month after This Land Is Your Land was written, Guthrie made a trip down to Washington, D.C. to talk on tape with a young folklorist named Alan Lomax at the Library of Congress. Lomax wanted to know about Guthrie's hometown and his family.
Well, they come in there from Texas in the early day. My dad got to Oklahoma right after statehood. He was the first clerk of the county court in Okemah, Oklahoma, after statehood. He is known as the one of them old hard-hitting, fist-fighting Democrats, you know.
Where did you live, on a farm?
Well, no, I was born there in that little town, July the 14th, 1912, year that President Woodrow Wilson was nominated. Dad built a six-room house, cost him about $7,000 or $8,000, and the day after he got the house built, it burned down.
What kind of a place was Okemah? How big was it? Well, you remember it when you were a kid.
Well, in them days, his little town, about 1,500, and then 2,000. A few years later, it got up to about 5,000. They struck some pretty rich oil pools all around there.
Well, what kind of people lived in Okemo?
Oh, just sort of a farming class of people. The town didn't amount to much except on a Saturday, you know, when all the farming people would come in there to have a trades day or give away a new buggy and a box of tobacco or buy them a new pair of button shoes or some such stuff as that. It's always big Saturday.
By 1940, when he spoke to Alan Lomax, Guthrie was becoming known for his songs Dust Bowl Blues, Do Re Mi, So Long, It's Been Good to Know You. He was working on his autobiographical novel, Bound for Glory. A man happier on the road than at home, he'd walked, hitched, and ridden the rails all over the country. He went first to the Gulf Coast, then west to California several times, where he joined the half-million so-called Okies and Arkies, Dust Bowl refugees migrating in search of better lives. Although Guthrie purposefully threw himself into these travels, partly to escape family troubles and his disintegrating first marriage, what he saw and experienced as he crisscrossed the country contributed to his emergence as a social commentator. He was irritated by the Pollyanna qualities of Irving Berlin's God Bless America, sung by Kate Smith, which seemed to be endlessly playing on the radio in the late 1930s. So irritated that he wrote this song as a retort, at first sarcastically calling it God Blessed America for Me, before renaming it This Land Is Your Land. Guthrie's original lyrics to the song included this verse.
There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. Sign was painted, said private property, but on the back side it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me.
This verse was recorded by Moash in 1944, but not released. In fact, Woody's recorded version was more or less lost until Smithsonian archivist Jeff Place heard the acetate master during a 1997 transfer of the recording to a digital format. Still, it was sung at rallies, around campfires, and in progressive schools. It was these populist lyrics that had appealed to the political left in America. Guthrie's daughter, Nora, from his second marriage, was born in 1950 and was a year old when Guthrie's This Land was released on a record for children called Songs to Grow On. Nora recalls when she and her brothers became aware of the popularity of the song.
We were sent to a progressive elementary school. We got in because the music teacher there had been a friend of my dad's. Anyway, we were very, very surprised. The first day of school, and they have an assembly program, and everyone stands up. And the three of us who had been to public school before that kind of put our hands on our chest, and we're about to sing the Pledge of, you know, say the Pledge of Allegiance and sing, you know, our national anthem. And the kids start going, "This land is your land." And we kind of fell over like, huh? It never occurred to us that anyone outside of our small circle on the weekends knew that song, or that it had, you know, a couple of folk groups maybe had recorded it, like the Weavers or something like that. So that was my first experience with this song. I was the only one, like Arlo says, we were the only ones who didn't know the words.
It's been Woody's folk singing son, Arlo Guthrie, and Pete Seeger who've made a point of singing the more radical verses to This Land Is Your Land, also reviving another verse that Guthrie wrote but never officially recorded. This verse exists scribbled and scratched upon a loose-leaf sheet of paper now in the possession of daughter Nora as part of the Woody Guthrie archives that she established. One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office I saw my people. As they stood hungry, I stood there wondering if God blessed America for me. Nora Guthrie has an idea why these words may not have been recorded at the 1944 session and why the private property verse that was recorded was not issued.
This is the early 50s and McCarthy's out there, and it was considered dangerous in many ways to record this kind of material. If my dad had done the recording, I don't think it would have meant anything to him if he was imprisoned, actually. He was quite used to living without and having nights in prison and things like that. Like most of the things that if we're talking about my dad, it gets very complex here. So I think, you know, the Weavers originally just recorded the first three verses which in one way was very, very helpful to my dad because we had no money. So thank God that they recorded something, and our family was able to get some royalties from that.
Sadly, as Guthrie was becoming lionized as a social commentator, drawn into national radio broadcasts, political campaigns, theater projects, his health was beginning to fail. He was slowly succumbing to an inherited degenerative disease of the nervous system, Huntington's chorea, that had taken the life of his own mother. At the time, the disease was not understood, and Woody had not been diagnosed. He was first put in a detox program, then a psychiatric ward. Woody's daughter Nora, along with her brothers Arlo and Jody, grew up under the care of their mother, dancer Marjorie Mazia Guthrie. They lived on Mermaid Avenue by the Coney Island Beach in Brooklyn. And the children were small when Woody began to deteriorate.
He was actually hospitalized for the rest of his life, permanently in 1954, but he was in and out of hospitals from the time I was born until I was about 4 years old. And I remember having to go to the hospital. You kind of had to walk through this long, long ward of very desperately ill people. And he was at the end of the whole ward, you know. And I remember I have this image of the three of us like little ducklings behind my mother, you know, walking down this long ward and going, get me out of here. But my mother was a very, very strong woman and a very chipper woman. And she had a smile on her face. I used to look at her and say, what is she so happy about, you know? But it kind of eased us a little bit, I think, the fact that she was able to, you know, hold a smile for all of us.
Guthrie lost his ability to play guitar and sing, although he continued to write and continued to inspire a younger generation of performers.
Hey, hey, Woody Guthrie, I wrote you a song. About a funny old world that's coming along. Seems sick and it's hungry, it's tired and it's torn. It looks like it's a dying and it's hardly been born.
Bob Dylan and Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Bragg, and the band Wilco. These are some of the musicians who followed in the footsteps of Woody Guthrie. When Guthrie recorded This Land Is Your Land, he ended with this verse.
When the sun comes shining, and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, the dust clouds rolling, the voice coming chanting, and the fog was lifting, this land was made for you and me.
Woody Guthrie passed away on October 3rd, 1967. I'm Nick Spitzer.